Good evening, everyone. And welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. Oh, Catgirl, Top Gun Maverick is a great movie. Absolutely. Hope you guys are having a lovely day. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We have a lot to discuss. If you wouldn't mind, do me a favor. Please hit the like button. Help us out by sharing the show. Hitting the like button is super easy, even if you're watching on Roku or Apple TV or something like that. Even if you are watching that way and you can't figure out how to like it on screen, you can always pull up your phone and go to the stream that way and just click that like button. Now, some people have said if they could hit the like button more than once, they would, but unfortunately, you can only do it once per user. But you can share the show out there on your social media, help people find it, bring them over here, and we'll give them all kinds of great information. This is going to be a banger. Banger. So you guys might remember, I don't know, maybe a year ago or something like that, I told you about an elections investigator whistleblower who had come forward to say that Bill Barr intentionally killed their investigation. Well, Jeffrey Clark was involved in the same set of investigations, and he said Bill Barr killed no fewer than three. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned, the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns, a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red. Because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the corruption detector. You're watching Red Pill News. And this, as always, is Red Pill 78. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I sincerely appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. We have so many things to discuss. But first of all, I know I kind of punked you guys yesterday with a video of the eclipse. It turned out it was an older video, and I knew that, but it was pretty funny. So today we have actual real video of the eclipse, and I'm just going to begin right there. So let me pull this up for you guys to see, and actually let me get it. Let me first get it keyed in here because I want you guys to have the best view possible. All right, take a look at this. This is live footage from the eclipse. Look at all those people all over the world. The world is watching. Here it comes. Here it comes. Yes. Wait for it. Wait for it. Oh. Yes, we will save America. Oh, look at that. We will save America. We will make America great again. And we will do it this November. November 5th, 2024. The day America speaks. Oh, probably the most epic campaign ad I have ever seen. Donald Trump, let me just tell you, the people he has working for him, putting these things together, they are a top-notch, class act every single time. They know exactly what they're doing. And yes, I was punking you again, but you have to admit it was totally worth it. This is exactly what we want to see. And I hope that President Trump pours all of his money into dank memes just like this to send the liberal left freaking out into the sunset. Or into the eclipse, as it were. This is really not going over well with the modern day left. They are completely losing it at the idea that liberals are going to have to see the return of Donald Trump. It's bad enough. They got to see all of us out here every single day saying, make America great again. We're going to put America first. We're going to deport all of those illegals you guys invited into our country. We're going to cancel all of these social programs that are bankrupting the nation. We're going to fix the country that you have destroyed. And we're going to fix our election system first and foremost. So, yeah, they are not finding it funny at all. I think that we may actually have some live reactions from liberals. Let's see. Actually, these are just reactions from people in America First Country. All right. So Time Magazine, actually, they did report on it. They said in a new and bizarre campaign ad. Nothing bizarre about it. It's freaking hilarious. Donald Trump's head takes the place of the moon and blocks out the sun in a nod to Monday's solar eclipse. Oh, nobody has a sense of humor. Why can't anybody see the hilarity in this? I'll tell you what. There is another hilarious aspect to this story coming from the modern day left. And let me tell you, in the same way that Mexico and South and Central America were not sending their best when they emptied out their prisons and their mental institutions and just sent all those people packing north, Washington, D.C. is not sending their best either. Remember, it was a Democrat who worried about Guam capsizing because there might be too many U.S. troops stationed there. Again, that's not how islands work, bud. It's not how islands work. Gary Sanders says, I love the show, Red Pill. Gary, thank you very much for being here. I love you, bro. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Oh, yes. A Democrat thought that Guam was going to capsize. Well, Sheila Jackson Lee, she's got her own strange ideas about the material matter of the universe. And she claimed on Monday, probably at an event celebrating the eclipse, that the moon is made mostly out of gas. And the really sad part is that she made this during a viewing of the eclipse with students at Booker T. Washington High School in Houston, Texas. Booker T. Washington, obviously, being a black American of note in history. And of course, he was known as a very intelligent, one of the brilliant minds, inventors of the 20th century, 19th century, pardon me. But anyways, Sheila Jackson Lee, honoring Booker T. Washington, totally gets it wrong. She says a moon is a complete rounded circle. She sounds like Kamala Harris. The moon is round. My feet wear shoes. Jim Kyle, the only gas in her is that gas bag. Yeah, definitely. She's the one releasing gas. The question is, how could we live on the moon? Are the gases such that we can do that? Oh, of course, people on social media were not kind to Sheila Jackson Lee. There was a Houston area talk show host who said, imagine you're in high school and the speaker of the day of the eclipse is Sheila Jackson Lee. Enjoy those pearls of wisdom from this national treasure. Now, Kyle Becker pointed out that according to NASA, the sun is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit and hot enough to sustain nuclear fusion. However, the moon is not made of gases, but rather iron and some nickel at its core. Its mantle and crust are made up of numerous minerals, including olivine and pyroxene and oxygen, silicon, magnesium, iron, calcium, and aluminum atoms. Of course, if you don't believe that the moon is even there, then all of that's fake and gay. It's funny because also, Sheila Jackson Lee being from Texas, obviously they have a intrinsic connection to the space program as well. Back in 2023, Jackson Lee had claimed that religious leaders assured her that the ideology does not stand opposed to anyone's religion, that being the ideology of transgenderism. She was also a candidate at one point for a mayoral race in Houston, and she drew quite a few bits of backlash from her statements on COVID-19's impact on Black Americans and transgender ideology. She says, "I will not pretend to be a scripture person." Okay. "I will not pretend to be a person of faith," she might as well say. "I am not ordained. I am not in any leading religious organization as a religious leader. But I have spoken to persons who lead, and they have not given me any evidence that this issue, transgenderism, speaks to anyone's religion." She also had directly linked slavery at one point and the impact of COVID-19 on Black Americans during remarks that she made from the House floor in November 2022. "There is no doubt we have been impacted. That DNA is the trajectory of slavery to today." What? What does that even mean? "For example, COVID. Black African Americans have gotten COVID at a rate of nearly 1.5 times higher than that of white people, or hospitalized at a rate of nearly 4 times higher and 3 times likely to die. COVID hit us very desperately." Apparently, COVID just had its eyes out for the blacks. It set its sights on the Black American population, and it went for them. "I still don't understand how DNA is the trajectory of slavery to today." Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't know if anybody gets that. Let me see. Eleanor 2000. Thank you so much, Eleanor, for the generous donation. She says, "Just a small contribution for all your tremendous work, Zach. I've had to defect a little lately for my sanity, but I can't stay gone long. Too many wonderful people in this convoluted journey. Grateful." Eleanor, we are grateful for you being here as well. And, don't worry. Every now and then people need to take a little bit of time off, and I can totally understand. That's why I'm here every single day, making sure that when you're ready, I will be here to help you laugh, to bring you good information, and to help you see the bright, shining future that awaits us on the other side of November. Now, yesterday, it was rumored that NASA was going to be launching some rockets into the path of the solar eclipse. We had spoken briefly about the scientific experiments that the scientists here in America, they wanted to do so that they could learn a little bit more about the eclipse and the effects on Earth's atmosphere. So these rockets were designed to observe disturbances in the ionosphere when the moon eclipses the sun. I don't know if it was successful, but I can tell you that the first rocket was launched 45 minutes before the eclipse. Then the second rocket was launched during the eclipse. And then the third rocket was launched 45 minutes after the eclipse occurred. These were sounding rockets, and the atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path is permitting them to blast off these rockets from their facility in Virginia, so then they can study those disturbances in the ionosphere when the moon eclipses the sun. Now, don't really know what that means, but understanding the ionosphere and developing models to help us predict disturbances is crucial to making sure our increasingly communication-dependent world operates smoothly. Okay, so if they're talking about communication and the ionosphere, then that must have to do with the successful sending of these radio signals because it bounces off the ionosphere. And if I got any part of that wrong or I didn't say it exactly, please don't crucify me. There's a funny story. People always want to make sure that you're exacting. And unfortunately, by very nature of the fact that you're just talking and you're live, like, you're going to say things that, you know, maybe are not exactly the way that somebody else sees them, or perhaps they wouldn't say them in the exact same way. But anyways, I had mentioned something a couple years ago about communication bouncing off of the ionosphere and it's going to some other place on planet Earth. And I guess somebody who's like a real Radiohead, like that's like what they do. They were very angry that I didn't say it correctly. Anyways, Brad told me that story and he said that the dude was unhinged. If you're out there, I forgive you. I'm not even worried about it, but I just thought it was kind of funny. One more story from the eclipse. It turns out that a Mexican media outlet mistakenly aired video of a man's testicles during the eclipse coverage. I don't know how this happened. But a lot of people have been searching for this online. This is RCG Media. And they were trying to air footage of what they believe to be live footage from the 2024 eclipse. But instead, it showcased a viewer's prank involving an image of testicles. Of course, everybody's watching. Oh, my God. So during the highly anticipated coverage of this celestial event, this is a very earthbound version of it, viewers from around this area were left in shock as the screen displayed not the moon passing in front of the sun, but rather a close-up of a man's balls. Deez nuts. Got him! Oh, the unsuspecting anchors were obviously caught in disbelief. They were listing off areas of visibility during the eclipse, and then they realized they were looking at a pair of nuts. Okay, we're going to have to watch it. So if you have a delicate sensibility, look away. But this is too funny.
Desde las 11, 9 de la mañana, completamente a oscuras, estaría Mazatlán.
Sí.
Durango, Gómez Palacio, Lerdo, Nazas también en el municipio de Durango, Torreón, Monclova, Musquis, donde está tu familia, Piedras Negras, Cancún, en el estado de Coahuila. Serían los municipios donde más se podría apreciar. Y ese último video que mandamos es un video.
How did that happen? How did that even happen? Must have been somebody in the newsroom or something. I can't even. That's the best. Oh, epic troll. Epic troll. Oh, okay. So. You know, one other aspect of the eclipse, people were looking for craziness to happen. I mentioned that there was one shooting. There was allegedly two shootings yesterday. If you count Chicago, then, you know, it goes up over a dozen. But we're just going to go to the areas of the country where there aren't normally mass shootings. Yeah, it was just below Uranus. You're right. So the shooting that I had heard of was this Monday morning shooting in a law office in Las Vegas. So apparently this firm in Summerlin, which is near the Red Rock Resort, erupted in violence yesterday morning, which meant that law enforcement had to show up. But the LVMPD is investigating what happened. Reportedly, there are multiple victims. The shooting occurred around 10 a.m. Vegas time. This was inside a business located on Charleston Boulevard near Pavilion Center Drive. It's a fairly busy area. What I had heard is that this was a law office and there was a defendant who was there to do a deposition of some kind. And this person allegedly opened up fire and took a couple of people out. So very serious, very serious. Let's see. So here is the description. KPunkyJ8314 says, I appreciate you, bud. Would you please tell my daughter, Mary Catherine, she's my favorite. LOL, you rock, Katie Jones. Katie Jones, thank you very much. And Mary Catherine, you know that your mother is always going to be your number one fan. You are her favorite. I don't know if you have any other brothers or sisters, but maybe don't let them hear this just in case. We don't want anybody feeling left out. But just know you are your mother's favorite. She absolutely loves you. And thank you very much, Katie. Okay, so this must be from a divorce. Hold on. The view is always messed up. Okay, so the shooting happened in the Prince Law Group's fifth floor office during a child custody deposition involving Prince's wife and her ex-husband, whom sources identified as Houston's son and whom he was also representing. Prince and his wife recently had a child together. Records show Dylan Houston filed for divorce from then-named Ashley Houston in 2021. Police received a call of a shooting around 10 a.m. inside the building, and seven people were in the room during the deposition. Joe Houston targeted his two victims, Johansson said, without identifying the shooter or the victims. So obviously, if this guy was there to give a deposition at his ex-wife's lawyer's office, who she also happened to be newly married to, I would imagine he probably shot the two of them. The suspect was not killed by police. We believe he took his own life, and it sounds like he was successful. So tragic story, and clearly just an odd occurrence that had happened during the eclipse. Now, this one is allegedly directly related to the eclipse. Down here in Florida on Interstate 10 in Holmes County, this woman on screen ended up going on some sort of a shooting spree because she claimed that God told her to do so because of the eclipse. Her name is Talon Celestine. She's 22. She's been charged with attempted murder, improper discharge of a firearm, and battery with a deadly weapon. In a statement to the press, authorities have reported that Celestine had recently checked out of a local hotel, and she told the staff she was going on a shooting spree directed by God in relation to the solar eclipse. Florida Highway Patrol then reported that she was driving a purple Dodge Challenger, and she began her shooting spree on Interstate 10 at the 112-mile mark when she began firing at a vehicle on the freeway. Now, the vehicle that she shot at was struck multiple times, but the driver was able to pull off and did not suffer any injuries, thank God. But Celestine continued driving after firing those initial shots. She opened fire again on marker 107, and then she apparently shot another vehicle, resulting in that driver being shot in the neck. So the driver of that vehicle was then rushed to the hospital, and his medical status is currently being withheld from the public. So we don't exactly know what's going on with him. Keep him in your prayers. But police ended up finding her at mile 96, where officers had conducted a search of her vehicle and discovered an AR-15 and a handgun in the car. She's currently being held in Holmes County Jail, and the suspect recently checked out of a hotel. That's really all the information that we have besides God telling her to go on a shooting spree. I'm not real clear on where Holmes County, Florida is. It looks like perhaps it's in the panhandle or something. But I can tell you one thing. God didn't direct her to go shoot up anybody. She's probably someone with a history of mental illness of some kind. Maybe there's something else going on here. I mean, she's staying at a hotel, and perhaps she could have been on a drug bender or something like that. Quite frequently, people who go on long, extended binges of using drugs, heavy drugs, PCP, crystal methamphetamine, crack cocaine, those kinds of things, they will end up having some pretty serious hallucinations. So I would say that that's probably what's going on. Hopefully that one guy that got shot in the neck is able to fully recover. Very, very scary stuff. So now I want to take you on a trip down memory lane. Do you guys remember 4 years ago how much a gallon of gas cost? Man, those were the good old days. Let me tell you. Because here we are with Joe Biden mucking up Washington, even worse than it was before. And gas is quite literally more than double what it was at the time that he came in. So take a look at this. This is from Twitter. 4 years ago, during the Trump years, the average price of a gallon of gasoline was $1.80. Man. It was even cheaper than that at times. Never thought it would get that cheap. President Trump gave us the cheapest gas. I mean, it was like Iraq war type gas. And now the average price of a gallon of gas is $3.61. But Vance Langman here, he's got two pictures taken 1 year apart. Regular unleaded 4 years ago, April 9th, 2020, was $1.85. Diesel was $2.16. Now a gallon of gas is $4.08 and a gallon of diesel is $4.19. I'm also old enough to remember when diesel used to be way cheaper than regular gas. I used to think, man, I'm going to get a diesel when I grow up. It's so much cheaper. So you can take a look here and you can see the moment at which Joe Biden takes over from the greatest president to ever grace that cesspool known as Washington, D.C. And you can see, dang, yep. At one point, gas was fairly inexpensive under President Trump. Go back here. You can just watch it climb, climb, climb. The markets were starting to freak out. They knew that Joe Biden was likely going to come in and he was pretty much going to implement the Green New Deal. And then boom, we've had $5 a gallon gas. And, you know, at least we're sitting halfway in between where it used to be and where it was at one point. So you take a look at something like that. And then you hear from a feckless nitwit like Joe Biden's acting labor secretary, who seems to think it's funny that the American people believe that they were better off under Donald Trump. Her name is Julie Hsu, and she's the acting labor secretary because even though the U.S. Senate is almost half Democrat, she can't get confirmed. So the liberal media continues to act as if Julie Hsu has been confirmed, or they just leave out the fact that she's not really been hired into the job yet, and they just treat her as if she is the labor secretary. So she recently appeared on MSNBC, and she quite literally laughed. Like, this is like a serious Marie Antoinette moment. Let them eat cake. She's laughing at the plight of Americans who pine for the days of freedom, liberty, and inexpensive gas. Number one, Indiana Dad, thank you so much for the donation over there on Ko-Fi. You're my bro, my brother from another mother. So let's go ahead and take a look at this because I'll tell you what. I mean, this right here is why the Democrats have lost their base. A long time ago, they lost their connection to the American people. They no longer represented blue-collar, rank-and-file Americans. They pushed into diversity, equity, and inclusion. They went wild on climate change, and they became the party of the liberal elites, the American oligarchy. Let's take a listen.
I mean, I say it's unfortunate that some people try to peddle a story for, you know, of nostalgia for something that just wasn't true. I say that, I mean, look at the numbers, right? The numbers don't lie. You know, the last president kept
What numbers is she looking at? Anyone? What the hell? What numbers, Julie Hsu? No wonder she doesn't have the job. She can't count. She can't read charts. She can't even read numbers. Take a look. What did I just show you? Gas is twice the price as it was before. Gavin Newsom single-handedly killed the fast food market in the state of California because he raised the minimum wage to $20 an hour. And all those restaurants had to shut down or they had to hire robots to cook the food. Julie Hsu is so remarkably out of touch. She's the kind of woman who doesn't do her own grocery shopping. She's the kind of woman who doesn't pump her own gas. She's the kind of woman who doesn't even write her own checks to pay her bills, probably because they're getting paid by the DNC. Let's continue and just get a feel for how out of touch she is.
About an infrastructure week that never materialized. President Biden has delivered on an infrastructure decade where we're seeing projects.
Are these projects because of the infrastructure collapses that we've had? Or are these projects that Joe Biden supposedly implemented and we're actually seeing things getting built? Because I'm not seeing things getting built. I remember living in Michigan. The joke was that during the winter, you couldn't drive on the roads because they were just iced up all over the place. And then during the summer, you couldn't drive on the roads because there was nonstop 24-hour construction going on. I'm certainly not seeing any infrastructure being built around here. You know, I see a lot of houses going up, but that has nothing to do with Joe Biden. Those are also houses that most people can't afford to buy anymore. The builders and the price of material have priced so many people out of the market. And that's to say nothing about the interest rates on the money you have to borrow to even buy a house. And what about all of the money that Joe Biden is printing to pay for student loan debt? What is that going to do? That's going to increase inflation as well. And so our food continues to rise. Our gas prices continue to rise. The cost of everything continues to rise. Julie Sue, you have absolutely no idea.
Hit the ground in communities all across the country. And it's
God dang it. Were both of those muted? Were both of those muted? How long was I muted for? Oh, my God.
Muted. Muted. The chicken black. Okay. Well, anyways, yes, now you can hear me. Now you can hear me.
All right. So let's go back to what I was saying. She knows absolutely nothing. I laughed. That's her laugh. Okay, Julie Sue doesn't know anything. Julie Sue is part of the problem. The deep state protects the government. The government perpetuates the corruption. The corruption increases cost of living because it increases the cost of everything. The inflation reduces our living wages. The inflation reduces our ability to purchase things. And our lives get bitter and worse every single day, just worse and worse and worse as a result of people just like her, as a result of the people running this corrupt government. They have absolutely no idea. They don't understand what's really going on out here in America. They don't have to pay their own bills. They don't have to worry about the cost of gasoline. We've already seen it. We see it every single day in our own lives. We have the physical proof every single day of how difficult our lives are, and it's all because of Joe Biden. So, getting back to the idea of the deep state protecting the deep state. The Department of Justice is refusing to hand over the audio recordings of Joe Biden's interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur. So, clearly, the GOP is looking to get their hands on these audio tapes. The committees have responded with escalation and threats of criminal contempt. We urge the committees to avoid conflict rather than seek it. Well, obviously, the DOJ is not interested in avoiding conflict. It seems they're interested in running headlong into it. House Oversight Chairman James Comer released a statement on Monday after the DOJ rebuffed his committees yet again and their request for those audio recordings. The Biden administration does not get to determine what Congress needs and does not need for its oversight of the executive branch. The American people deserve to hear the actual audio of President Biden's answers to Special Counsel Robert Hur.
Something in my eye. Hold on.
Comer said it is a bit curious that the Biden regime is refusing to release that audio of the interview. I mean, why wouldn't they want to release the audio? We've already got the transcript. We've already got it all on paper. I mean, unless Joe Biden's answers on audio are different from his answers on paper. But why would that be? What possible reason could that be? Well, we do know that Joe Biden lied about Robert Hur raising the issue of his dead son, Beau, the son that you all know very, very well. I mean, I feel like Beau and I went to high school together at this point. I might have went to law school with Beau. I don't know. But I didn't go to law school. So there you go.
Now, the Justice Department has previously defended not bringing charges against Joe Biden because he is, and I quote, a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. But according to that transcript, Joe Biden forgot when he was vice president, and he also couldn't remember when his son Beau actually died, even though he tells the story every morning at breakfast. So Joe Biden attacked Robert Hur during an impromptu press conference back in February when the findings of the special counsel's investigation was revealed. And there is even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that? Biden told the White House press corps. Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business. But of course, Robert Hur never asked that question. Joe Biden brought up the death of Beau just as he does every single time someone stubs their toe or bounces a check. So what else is Joe Biden lying about? And the true, true, really interesting part we want to know is just how bad was his memory during that 2-day interview with Robert Hur? How much of the audio portion of that conversation were they forced to cut out because it made Joe Biden look like a dementia patient? I can only imagine Joe Biden being questioned by DOJ attorneys and them constantly having to placate him or to prime him with certain bits of information so that they could get the information that they actually needed. I mean, it basically seems like Robert Hur had to lead Joe Biden down a path on a leash like a dog of some kind. So James Comer promises that they are going to respond to the Justice Department soon. This obviously needs to happen. There's no way that these investigative committees can do the necessary oversight if they don't have access to all of the material. There is no investigation that can be completed if they simply don't have access to what they need to finish the investigation. And you guys know all about the various things that were found during the investigation. And of course, it is a tremendous double standard when you look at the treatment of Donald Trump compared to the treatment of Joe Biden. I welcome it. Let them show America exactly what it is they do and exactly who their masters are. It's certainly not the American people, and that's who it should be. Instead, their masters are the puppet masters of the deep state. And Joe Biden is merely a figurehead who is protecting whoever is operating in the shadows behind him. Could that be one Barack Hussein Obama? Could it be Big Mike? Could it be, I don't know, perhaps George Soros? He's definitely somebody with a lot of financial consideration here. We truly don't know. We truly don't know at this point. So yesterday it was announced that David Cameron, the foreign secretary and former prime minister of Great Britain, he flew to Mar-a-Lago to have a meeting with Donald Trump. And apparently he is speaking with Donald Trump in an effort to push senior Republicans to unlock money for Ukraine. I will remind everyone, however, that Donald Trump is not officially running the government right now, and it's just a little bit odd that a current member of another nation's government would solicit the help of a former member of this nation's government who's actually running to become president again. Now, a couple of different things could be happening here. I saw people suggesting that maybe this was a proof of devolution. I have also heard people suggesting that perhaps David Cameron is just hedging his bets. I think that the most likely scenario is that Great Britain is fully aware that Joe Biden's time in the White House is over and done with, and that even though they're going to meet with Antony Blinken, the State Department, and Joe Biden's current regime, they're meeting with Donald Trump because they also know that as soon as November rolls around and January crests its glorious golden head, they know that it's going to be Donald Trump that they're dealing with. And so why not just get ahead of the cart ahead of the apples, so to speak? Get in there, get your diplomatic relations working again. I know things are a little rusty. They didn't support Donald Trump when the election was stolen. Now they know that they have no choice but to work with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has been fairly open and honest about his opinion of this war and the fact that we need to get peace in that region yet again. So David Cameron said that victory for Ukraine is vital for American and European security. And I am not so certain about that myself. I don't think that we need victory for Ukraine to secure American security at all. And in fact, as far as I'm concerned, we have dumped enough money into Ukraine. It is a steaming crater in the middle of Eastern Europe now, filled with the dead bodies of young Ukrainians. $10 more billion here or $20 more billion there is not going to do anything to help the people of Ukraine along. And right now, it would appear that the House of Representatives are holding up a $60 billion aid package for Kiev. And so David Cameron, meeting with Donald Trump, suggests that he believes Donald Trump can help push that $60 billion aid package along. Donald Trump, are you listening? The American people do not want another $60 billion going to Ukraine. The American people want that spigot turned off right now. So in terms of the oddity of this meeting, the UK government said it's standard practice for government ministers to meet allied nations' opposition leaders in election years. But I don't know about this ever happening in the past. I certainly don't remember Mitt Romney getting any visits from the foreign ministry, foreign minister of Ukraine. I don't remember even the United States or any other nation visiting with opposition leaders, unless, of course, the election had already been secured and they knew that there was a good reason to go ahead and meet with them. So David Cameron and Donald Trump had a contentious relationship first time around. He had called the Muslim travel ban by Donald Trump divisive, stupid, and wrong. Well, I wonder what David Cameron thinks about it now. I think if he came to visit our country, I think it'd unite us all against him, David Cameron said when Trump had not yet been elected to high office. So keeping in mind that when Donald Trump ran the first time and everybody thought he was going to lose, they never bothered to meet with him. However, Trump said that he may not have a very good relationship with David Cameron and ended up being that David Cameron left not that long after. And he published some memoirs back in 2019. He said that he found it depressing that Trump could win an election and that it was due to his protectionistic, xenophobic, misogynistic interventions. Really? So I guess they just think that all of America are xenophobic, misogynistic, and protectionistics. Well, either way, I don't think there's anything wrong with being protectionistic, protecting the best interests of the people who make up your country. Britain has essentially been gutted in the same way that the United States has, and unrestrained alien migration from Muslim nations has also destroyed that country. Now, Cameron ended up resigning after voters rejected his call to remain in his bloc by a healthy margin. And he's also expected to speak to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken about the support for Ukraine and also bringing stability to the Middle East. No word yet on how that meeting actually went. I hope that Donald Trump made him lick his boots. Hope that David Cameron was forced to kneel, to bow to the incoming president, because he's a real piece of work. I wouldn't trust David Cameron at all. All right. You guys, we're going to take a break real quick for the second half of the show. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no-fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Anarchist Owl says, I don't want to ask. I'd rather not. I know you said I could ask for help the other day. Would you still be fine with that? I'm in a very tight spot. I haven't heard anything from the job. Okay. Yeah, definitely. If you want to pass out, like, you know, information where people can get in contact with you, if you want to tell people where you're at, see if there's any patriots that live near you that might be able to offer any assistance at all. Yeah, please do so. You guys, I don't know where Anarchist Owl is, but if you are in a position to offer him any assistance, see whatever way you can help him out, even if it's with getting a lead on a job, or perhaps maybe if he needs a little place to stay for a little while. He is a 100% patriot. He's a great guy. And you go ahead and, you know, if you want to drop your PayPal, if you want to drop your email, if you want to drop whatever you can. And if you guys are out there listening and Anarchist Owl is near where you are and you can help him out in any way, then please, I implore you to do so. Again, he is a great guy. And I think that if we are in a position to help each other out, if we're near each other, then let's go ahead and we'll get that taken care of. So Anarchist Owl, yes, I'm sorry to hear that, buddy. But yes, we'll see what we can do. Lisa's asking for your email right now. All right, so a couple of updates about the Stormy Daniels hush money case. Yesterday, it was announced that Donald Trump had lost his last-minute request to delay that hush money trial. So a New York appellate judge decided that, unfortunately, that trial was going to go ahead and go through beginning on the 15th. All right. So, unfortunately, it looks like this is going to go through, but, you know, I honestly believe this is going to be good for Donald Trump. All it's going to do is show that there is this concerted effort by the deep state within the Justice Department and within the state justices of these various states, which are probably working hand in glove with the Biden regime to try to destroy Donald Trump in whatever way they can. I'm hoping that the evidence that's presented is going to shine a light on the fact that this is all garbage and there is no crime here, no crime at all. Also, what's interesting is that a New York court hearing President Trump's trial is also releasing questions for prospective jurors. So the questions delve into various aspects of the jurors' lives, notably they're asking about affiliations or lack thereof with groups such as the QAnon movement, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, the Boogaloo Boys, and Antifa. What do you want to bet that all of those groups, except for Antifa, are going to give you an automatic jury disqualification? You will be nullified as a juror if they think that you're part of a movement that is likely to give Donald Trump a not guilty verdict. So I would suggest that each and every one of these so-called groups are not groups that you can be officially affiliated with. And so they don't have any right to go delving into your lives and to ask about who you are or are not friends with. And what does that even mean, anyways, if you're affiliated? Does that mean that you're a card-carrying member of one of these groups? Does this mean that you attend regular meetings? Or does it mean that on your social media accounts, you might have retweeted someone at one time or another? No, the only way that they're going to allow people on this jury is if they answer in the negative when it comes to these, except for Antifa. If you answer that you are affiliated with Antifa, something tells me that they're going to get you on that jury faster then they can say lickety split. So, the questions in this questionnaire included media consumption habits and social media preferences. Now, obviously, if you answer that you love President Trump, you follow his Twitter account, they're probably not going to take too kindly to that. So I'd be very interested to get that full list of questions. Yes, let's see if we can. Okay, here we are. Okay, so dear counsel, I write to you regarding jury selection. This letter will address three separate issues. One, excusing jurors who self-identify as unable to serve. Two, instructions regarding the use of an anonymous jury. And three, the jury questionnaire and the permissible scope of voir dire. Excusing jurors who are unable to serve. So let's go ahead and get past that. These are people who have pre-existing conditions. Let's see. They don't want people affiliated with Trump, of course. Protective orders. Where are the questions? To all prospective jurors, please take Part D of your juror summoni. Parts three, there we go. Without telling us your address, in which neighborhood do you live? So, if, for example, Upper East Side, Lower West Side, Inwood, etc. How long have you lived there? Are you a native New Yorker? Where'd you live previously? What do you do for a living? How long have you been doing that? If you're retired, please tell us what you did before you retired. Who's your current employer? How large is your employer? Are you self-employed or do you own your own business? Who is your prior employer? What do you want to bet they're going to be asking questions to your employers? What is your educational background? Are you married? Have you been married? Do you have children? If you're married or you live with another adult, what does that person do for a living? If you have adult children, what do they do? What do you like to do in your spare time? Do you have any hobbies or interests? Do you participate in any organizations or advocacy groups? Which ones? Have you served on a jury before? If you did, please tell us how long ago and whether or not that was a criminal court, civil court, or grand jury. Oh, which of the following publications do you watch or read? Look at that. Okay. You got the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, New York Post, New York Daily News, Newsday, Huffington Post, Washington Post, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Newsmax, MSN, Google, Facebook, X, TikTok, Yahoo, Truth Social, and I do not follow the news. Do you listen to or watch podcasts? Which ones? Do you listen to or talk radio? If so, which programs? Have you or a relative been a victim of a crime? Do you have a relative who is employed by a federal law enforcement agency? Anyone employed by the state in any respect? Do you work with someone in the finance field? If you work with someone in the finance field, that's going to disqualify you because you'll know that the crimes Donald Trump is accused of committing are not actual crimes. Do you have any experience in the legal field? Do you have any interaction with the criminal justice system, like being a police officer? What was your experience with the criminal justice system? Do you or a relative have someone who is accused of or convicted of committing a crime? Do you have a pending criminal case? Do you have any political, moral, intellectual, or religious beliefs or opinions which might prevent you from following the court's instructions? Do you have any political, moral, intellectual, or religious beliefs or opinions that would interfere with your ability to render a verdict? Do you have a health condition? Do you take any medication? Court proceedings normally end? Can you do that? Do you practice religion? Can you give us assurance you'll be fair and impartial? Can you promise to guard against allowing stereotypes or attitudes about bias? Have you a relative or a close friend or somebody who worked at the Trump administration? Have you ever volunteered or worked for a Trump campaign, the presidential administration, or any other political entity affiliated with Mr. Trump? Have you ever attended a campaign rally for Trump? Are you signed up for, or have you ever been signed up for, newsletters from Mr. Trump or the Trump organization? Do you currently follow Trump on social media? Have you a relative or a close friend who worked or volunteered for a Trump administration organization? Have you ever attended a rally or a campaign event for any Trump group or organization, an anti-Trump group? Are you signed up for, or have you been signed up for, newsletters on behalf of any anti-Trump groups? Do you currently follow any anti-Trump group or organization? Have you ever considered yourself a supporter of or belong to any of the following? The QAnon movement, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, Boogaloo Boys, Antifa. Do you have strong opinions or firmly held beliefs about a former president being criminally charged? Do you have any feelings or opinions about how Mr. Trump is being treated in this case? Can you give us your assurance you will decide this case solely based on the evidence? Do you have strong opinions about former President Trump or the fact that he is a current candidate for president? Have you on audio or any of the following books or podcasts by Michael Cohen or Mark Pomerantz? Disloyal, Mea Culpa, Revenge, and The People versus Donald Trump. The defendant in this case has written a number of books. Have you read or listened to them? Do you have opinions about the legal limits governing political contributions? Can you set aside any of your biases? Blah, 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 blah. All right, and there we go. Jimmy Bend, Oregon says, why is it when you search Antifa.com, you get to the White House? It's been this way for years now. Why? D.C. truly is the district of communism. So the reason it goes to the White House is because whoever owns the domain can set the endpoint based upon their ownership of that domain. So like if I bought NewYorkCourts.gov because nobody else owned it, like we'll just say, you know, NewYorkCourts.gov, it was available for purchase. I bought it and then I forwarded it to, I don't know, like some porno website or something like that, you know, something offensive. Then if the New York courts are a real thing, it's not their fault that I took this name and then I forwarded it on. It's just the person who owns Antifa.com. And we might be able to find out who owns Antifa.com by going to who is. I think I looked this up before. But quite literally, anyone who owns a website can forward it to any other website. So this was registered back in 2002. Now, it very likely could be that the person who bought Antifa.com, you know, is Antifa. They're not just like a troll, like pointing it to the White House. And they're doing that because, you know, obviously it is a communist takeover. But I don't think we can infer that specifically without knowing any other information about it. So this is it's shielded for privacy. And it's been online for a very long time. You know what would also be interesting is to go to archive.is. So if it's been around since 2002, we can go to Antifa.com. All right. So as of the 12th of August, 2020, the site was not working. So that's what it was back in 2020. So somebody had tried to do that. And certainly before 2022, it was pointing to the White House. Let's see, archive.org. See how far back. Ah, here we go. We can go back all the way to 2001. Let's see who was running it back then, if it was truly an Antifa site. Yes. It really was an anti-fascist website. Yep. Okay, so let's see when it switched to the White House. So they took no screenshots between 2001 and 2008. 2008, obviously, was when Barack Obama came into office. So it looks like in 2008, whoever owned it was selling it for $14,000. So jump ahead to 2013, April 2nd of 2013. Let's see what it looked like then. They were still selling it, so no takers for a while. Let's go to 2014. And they were still selling it in 2014. No takers. Let's jump to 2015. We'll go to March 22nd. Antifa was obviously starting to get a little bit more name recognition right there. They were still trying to sell it. Wow, that's so funny. They couldn't sell it because it was for communists. No communist takers. Still for sale. And, you know, here's the thing is that it wouldn't surprise me if like a conservative activist had purchased it and then pointed it at the White House as a sort of, you know, a big warning sign. Yep. Nothing in 2017. Let's go to 2018. Obviously, these are the Trump years. Okay, well, let's go to July 30th, 2018. Nothing. Let's go. Okay, so look at this. 2020, February 14th, 2020. It was for sale, and then right around here in the summertime, you got massive traffic. So we are Antifa. Join us and take action, antifa.com. So it looks like once George Floyd died, somebody bought it. How do I join Antifa? And really is nothing here. It's not going anywhere. They just threw a website up. And let's go to October 31st, 2020. We got a 302 crawl, which means it wasn't working. Let's go to December 31st of 2020. Nothing. Let's go to 2021 and nope. This may be when it was pointed at the White House because the website itself is not working. Yeah. Yeah. So I would say any of these 302s are the point at which they started pointing it at the White House. So it very easily could be a member of Antifa that's doing it, but the White House doesn't necessarily have any knowledge of it. All right. So now that we've got that sorted out, thank you very much for the donation. I appreciate it. Thank you also to Red Pill Ken. What's up, brother? He says, gonads matter. Thick Ray says, there's only one way to ride my man. Hashtag the truth is loose. Sean Joe, thank you for the can. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. Filter Dog One, thank you for the can. Empress, Empress Owl says, excuse me. Empress bitch to you says, tell Anarchist Owl to give us location, please. I think he said he was in West Virginia. Empress, if you want to, he's over there on Rumble. Honey, did Anarchist Owl send his email address? Jeremy Libby, hurry up, Zach. I got to poop. Just take me to the bathroom, dude. all right. So, honey, if you can drop that email in the chat. Okay, here it is. Empress, I'm going to put this over here into the pilled chat so that you can reach out to him. But he's in West Virginia, it sounded like. Okay. If anybody over there on pilled can help out, there's Anarchist Owl's email address. All right, so The case against Donald Trump, the hush money case. These are charges that are almost never brought under any circumstances. And as I showed you last week, I mean, we went through each of these specific points and essentially proved how Donald Trump didn't commit any crimes. The crimes that are alleged themselves are not crimes. They are accounting errors at the end of the day. And Donald Trump isn't the accountant for his company. He didn't make these he didn't put these errors into his books. His accountant entered them into his books. But in the past decade, there have only been two other felony cases that have been brought in Manhattan, which indicted defendants for falsifying business records without another crime. So Trump was indicted last April in this case brought by Alvin Bragg, 34 counts of falsifying business records. Typically, this is a misdemeanor. It's not like a felony, and you don't generally see people going to trial for this sort of thing. But Bragg was able to charge them as felonies because he used the reasoning that they were done to hide another crime. Although he did bring charges for the other crime. So most felony charges brought for falsifying business records include another crime. Now, with this trial set to begin on April 15th, obviously people are looking at it fairly closely. And it's quite obvious that if it wasn't Donald Trump, these charges never would have been brought in the first place. And we wouldn't have to be witnessing this entire sad affair. But again, it takes the mask off of the deep state itself, and it goes to show exactly who our enemies are and who we need to make sure that we do away with in the next Trump administration. These people need to be put out of business, so to speak. I don't think they deserve to be working in the legal profession. Okay. There is a delay, honey. Yes, there is a delay. Yep. All right. So the question of President Trump's immunity. I have said before, if the Supreme Court finds that President Trump, or any president for that matter, is not afforded ultimate immunity for the actions they take as president of the United States, oftentimes making split second decisions that at times can be questionable in terms of their legality, however necessary to keep the country and its citizens safe as a whole, that's going to put at risk every president before and every president after Donald Trump. So former Attorney General John Ashcroft and a coalition of other constitutional attorneys just recently filed a brief with the Supreme Court specifically on the subject of presidential immunity. Now, this constitutional coalition has formed this amicus curiae with the Supreme Court, and it concerns the question surrounding whether or not a president should have presidential immunity, or whether a subsequent president may criminally prosecute his or her predecessor and current political rival for the official acts that the previous president took while they were in office. Now, they are not filing this brief on behalf of either side, not for the government and not for President Trump, but simply based upon the question itself. This amicus brief was filed to strictly defend the constitutional principle that a president of the United States, as the acting chief executive, has got to maintain immunity from criminal prosecution for those official acts that the president has to take while they were in office. So otherwise, if they don't have that immunity, the president is going to have a fear of subsequent political rivals bringing prosecutions against them after they leave office in the same way that President Trump is seeing right now. A political rival could bring a criminal prosecution after they leave office simply because they don't want them to return. And that is exactly what we're seeing play out at this very moment. So the president's ability to make decisions on the fly in order to protect the national interests of this country and her people is quite literally the very definition of the duties that they discharge while they are acting in the office of the president. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that the president is above the law. It's quite the contrary. I mean, the founders had adopted a very specific method of holding a president accountable if they did commit crimes, and that is impeachment. They adopted impeachment. Article 1 of the impeachment clause of the Constitution provides that after impeached by the House and convicted by the Senate, the president can then be subject to criminal prosecution. The constitutional principle at issue is the United States of America versus Trump, and it is treating President Trump as an individual and the immediate passions surrounding the 2024 presidential election. So depending on how the Supreme Court decides this case, it very likely could shift the balance of power in that separation of powers between the three branches of our government. And how the Supreme Court decides this very specific constitutional issue, it's, like I said, going to determine the actions that future presidents take and exactly how they fulfill their duties as the chief executive of this country. So the brief filed by Attorney General Ashcroft and the Constitutional Coalition provides a historical context to this appeal that it will hopefully assist the Supreme Court in answering this question. Now, I have stated this on so many different occasions. I mean, the precedent is clear. We have hundreds of years of this being demonstrated. President Trump may have been impeached twice, but he was never convicted once. It was always a witch hunt. This current spate of court cases is still an extension of that witch hunt. And for President Trump, that nightmare continues. For the American people, the nightmare continues. As long as these deep state swamp rats continue to be able to bring meritless court case after meritless court case, then it will never end. However, the Supreme Court has the power to kill it in one fell swoop. So keep your eyes open. This next story, you guys. Oh, this next story. Apparently, a CIA officer and a former FBI official was caught on an undercover video bragging, essentially, about using the might, power, and resources of the federal government to essentially set up anyone that they deem as being worthy of being set up. Let's go ahead and take a listen. This is really going to get your blood flowing.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How? Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just got to give them a quick little, just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
We did what we wanted.
Which was what?
He took his money away. Chopped his legs off.
So, you would be forgiven for thinking that this was another James O'Keefe Media Group investigation. But I believe that James O'Keefe has created a whole new style of undercover investigative journalism. That is the Tinder journalist. Okay, and it looks like we have another guy posing as a gay guy going after federal employees to get them to admit to using corrupt practices within the federal government to go after average, normal people whom they simply do not like. He just mentioned Alex Jones. He mentioned that the CIA and the FBI were after Alex Jones, and they took his money, they cut his legs off, and they wanted to destroy him. Now, this goes on. Honeypot journalist. I like that, Hazel. I like that. Honeypot journalist. Yes, that's what we're going to use from now on. Okay, so we're going to watch this whole thing. It's nearly 8 minutes long, but I just wanted to set it up for you.
Gavin O'Blenis is a contracting officer at the CIA. O'Blenis worked for the FBI in 2021 and 2022 in the San Diego office, moved on to Homeland Security where he conducted asylum interviews at the southern border, and now works for the CIA managing multi-million dollar contracts across government agencies and private sector vendors.
I work for, I'm not supposed to tell people kind of job.
If I say intelligence, what do you think?
CIA?
Yep.
You work for the CIA?
I do.
That's incredible.
I'm a contracting officer.
That's amazing.
So I deal a lot with, like, different agencies. We're contracting with, like, Director of National Intelligence to do stuff. We do Navy, Army, any of them, really. FBI.
I just want to make a commentary real briefly on the state of America's national security. Like, these guys, they must be trained. in how to avoid getting honeypotted. I mean, obviously, this guy's not going to have to worry about getting honeypotted by, like, a Russian model or something like that. But clearly, he needs to worry about getting honeypotted by some twink in a coffee bar, making sure that he doesn't give away our national secrets. And it looks like he wasted no time. Like, you know, hey, you know, let me tell you what I do for a living. I can't tell you. Take a guess. Yeah, it's the CIA, baby. Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo! We kill people for a living. Deplorablonde said it must have been the gay frogs that set them off. Probably was. Probably was. You turn the fucking frogs gay!
The FBI, so they threw the FBI at me. They're like, here, you used to work there.
Oh, I'm permanent.
I said, yeah.
Good. Well, why did they call it contracting?
Because I do the contracting. I do all the legal contracts. I fly out to vendors and evaluate them. I love the agency.
Good for you.
I like the Bureau, too. The Bureau was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of cool stuff with the Bureau. I was the guy in the back of the truck in the van.
Oblenis spoke to an undercover Sound Investigations reporter about his work experience involving near entrapment and his employer's involvement with political commentator Alex Jones's legal battles.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can. You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
Yeah, we get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge.
Mm.
Sometimes you just gotta get a quick look.
And you guys wonder, how many times have I told people in the chat to shut the F up? People coming in here and talking about committing acts of violence. Okay? That's exactly what this guy is talking about here. All you need is somebody to come into this chat and say, we just need to string them all up. And then for four of you to say, yes, I'm with you. Let's go get them. And then they know who you are, and then they follow you, and then they send you some other form of entrapment, and they get you to do something stupid so that they can come raid your house, take your kids, take your guns, send you to prison. That is exactly the way they do it. It's called a nudge. It's called a nudge. We call them Fed posters.
See what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you have someone fake profile say something that triggers. Well, we know it's going to trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it. So we're like, oh, this will piss them off. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow, right?
Like a railing. Mm-hmm. Like a, oh. So when a railing happens, that sometimes the Bureau behind it?
Yeah, sometimes.
Nothing
like putting on a fake social media.
He just admitted. To being the, who are those guys? The National Front. That's what he was talking about.
Like, really get people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Post fake news. Sometimes it's not fake. It's embellished a little bit.
Who would be, like, a big influencer that you're after? You, like a, I don't know, like a, I don't even know these names. Like a Fox News person or like a Tucker Carlson or like.
I'm sure he's a right. You always want the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said the Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Are you still after him? Yeah. Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA
thing? Sure was.
That was the agency thing?
Actually, it was a defamation case, so it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that going to lead us to, right? So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency, definitely, but the Bureau, for instance, yeah, it's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff, and it's there, what can we go find?
And did you find it?
I can't tell you.
Oh,
we did. But
So, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, realize the opportunity that you have.
So with Alex Jones, you were watching him long before anything ended up happening.
Probably. It wasn't my office, but, I mean, we would have been well aware of what he was doing.
And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much. And we let the families do it.
And what?
We let the families do it.
Were they encouraged to do that by the Bureau? Like, nudged?
We don't encourage people.
But, like,
we just say there's no federal statute being broken. But you do have the option for a civil case. And it's a pretty good case.
Nice.
In our opinion.
So, oh, that makes so much sense. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. So that's a lot of these cases. They're kind of encouraged by the FBI.
Yeah, like, there's nothing federal law we can do. But civilly, we can go at them that way. Chop his legs off.
And they did.
Yeah.
So the FBI was happy.
We didn't care. We were like, oh.
Basically, the citizens did your job.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can encourage a civil lawsuit.
Not encourage. Educate.
What can you do with people like Alex Jones now? Is he still out there?
Yeah.
He's still chirping.
He can chirp.
Are you still watching?
Yeah.
Why?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away.
Uh-oh.
We shut him up for a while. You're never going to shut him up for anything.
It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder how often... Well, I mean, we already know. This is exactly what they did to people like us in the alternative media. They had the social media companies go after us. They had Media Matters, who already has a direct connection to Hillary Clinton, which is a direct connection to the State Department and the CIA. They had them go after us and cut our legs off as well. And that's why we are where we are today. But screw them. Screw them.
Well, unless you put him in prison.
But again, he didn't do anything to go to prison. Being ignorant is not a crime, though it should be.
It is.
I mean, what? You could bring a nudge.
He did incite a riot, like Cheeto. He didn't encourage people to go shoot people. He didn't do anything.
Additionally, Oblenis states that he knows and works with FBI agents who were undercover in the January 6th Capitol riot, estimating about 20 field agents were there undercover. While Oblenis notes that they were not involved in violence, this appears to be the first admission of undercover FBI agents in attendance.
Wow. I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C., just in case it gets out of hand like that.
But there wasn't
enough to turn that tide. I mean, I'm talking maybe have it 20. You needed 1,000 to get rid of that crowd.
So they had like, that was just 20?
Yeah, just to go through and observe and see what I can hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Well, wow. See, that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So
why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That would be overstepping their bounds.
A little bit.
Do people know that?
Why?
Do people know that the Bureau was in the crowd?
Nope, and probably never will.
Do you know agents that were there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. They work for the agency now.
Oh, he said they work for the Central Intelligence Agency now. Oh, my God, it's a direct stepping stone. Look at that. The FBI agents got rewarded, and they got a leg up and sent into the Central Intelligence Agency.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
Wow. Totally busted. Absolutely. Gavin Blennis. Oh, this guy. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Very, very good. Very good. I'm going to follow these guys. Sound Invest. Oh, I guess I'm already following them. Good for you. Good for you. Let's see. There is a part two. This is a shorter version of it. Part two has not come out yet. Look at that. Well, looking forward to part two. Very good. Oh, this is how I know them, because they're the ones who did the Pornhub investigation. That's right. Wow. Okay, well, I'm certainly looking forward to the next phase in this. And I can't wait. I cannot wait for Christopher Wray and for the current CIA director to get called into Congress, have their asses hauled in and asked about this stuff. This is great. Todd Liu says, do you trust this? Too easy? No, I don't think so. I think that people are honest when they think no one is looking. So, tell me how the CIA or the FBI benefits from having this guy get honeypotted and then admitting the things that we already know to be true, the things that are now going to get them in trouble with oversight. No. they don't benefit at all. There's absolutely no benefit to it. And we already suspected it as being true. So now it gets exposed. Now the oversight in Congress can be done and they can be questioned about it. And if they're going to call in Gavin Blennis to testify, a lifetime CIA agent who also worked for the FBI, admitting that some 20 FBI field officers are now working for the CIA because of the work they did on January 6th. Yes, I absolutely believe it. These people do not lie when they think nobody's listening, and there's no reason for him to embellish like this just because he thinks he's going to get laid. And yes, I absolutely believe it. 100% believe it. All right. So we got to check in with Fannie Willis and the Fulton County Courthouse. So they are not doing so well when it comes to following the rules of the courtroom. There is this case going on right now, this YSL gang case, and there's this rapper. His name is Young Thug. And he's on trial for a variety of different things, including like gun and drug trafficking and stuff. And an investigator for the DA's office has just been caught sexting with a female witness in this trial. A Bennett is her name. She's a witness in the trial of Young Thug and his YSL co-defendants. And she's made allegations against one of the rapper's attorneys in court Monday. Okay, I'm sorry. It is yes, DA investigator caught. So that would not be a DA investigator. That would be one of the – hold on. Bennett alleged she was mistreated, felt she'd been sexually harassed. Yeah, by one of the investigators from the Fulton County District Attorney's Office. So it's not one of the rapper's attorneys. It's one of the district attorney's attorneys. You told us that when you were back there, you didn't want to come and see him because he had sexually harassed you, Young Thug's lawyer said to Bennett. Yes, she replied. Hit me up if you're bored later. We're not going to talk shop, he messaged her. He also referred to her as mama on more than one occasion. Call me one more time, then I'm out your hair for the night, Adam said. Did the fact that this employee of the district attorney's office was trying to date you come into your mind as you're thinking about whether you have to come in here and testify or not, the lawyer asked. Yes, Bennett replied, agreeing to Adam's assertion. Bennett went on to confirm that the law enforcement officer repeatedly told her that he wanted to take her out when the investigation was over. She went on to state that she blocked the investigator after he phoned her many times to discuss things that weren't about court. And Bennett was originally called by the prosecution to discuss the allegations against Young Thug and another individual believed to be his brother because they had robbed her at gunpoint in 2013. She didn't want to testify and was taken into custody for attempting to refuse to appear. She also claimed she lost her job as a result of how many times the investigator attempted to meet with her. Now, there were a couple of other attorneys involved in this case, an attorney for the defense. She was actually arrested in a RICO suit because she was essentially helping her defendant. She was helping her defendants to commit crimes. Like she would go on social media and post pictures of like a whole room filled with cash and like guns and stuff. She was living that thug lifestyle. And the same thing has happened from other attorneys in Fannie Willis's office. They've also been disciplined for behaving in manners unbecoming an officer of the court. Now, Fannie Willis is also in trouble as well. And it appears that there's an accusation by one of the lawyers for the co-defendants in the case. Gave an interview with Town Hall columnist and legal analyst Phil Holloway. The attorney's name is Christopher Kachuroff, and he is representing co-defendant Harrison Floyd. And he alleged that Fannie Willis had recorded a phone call between herself and one of his Maryland colleagues. That would count as an illegal wiretap. She did reach out to us, one of my colleagues in Maryland, and was rude, abrupt with him on the phone. And he was dealing with the Maryland case, and I was dealing with the Georgia case, and she ended up recording him. He noted that Maryland is a two-party state, which means that both people who are being recorded have to give consent for that recording. I live in Florida. Florida is a two-party state, so in order for me to record my phone calls, I have to let the people know that they are being recorded when I do so. Not to say that I do, but if I wanted to, that's what I would have to do. When he was asked by Holloway if he was saying that Willis illegally recorded the phone call, he said, oh yes, and noted that it was a felony in Maryland. So Fannie Willis could quite literally be looking at a felony charge of illegal wiretapping in the state of Maryland. Now, I guess Harrison Floyd has posted the conversation online. Holloway also noted that Floyd followed that up with another tweet calling on Fannie Willis to recuse herself by Monday. Well, it's Tuesday, and she hasn't done so, so he is allegedly going to pursue legal remedies. Let's see if we can go ahead and take a look at the tweets from Harrison Floyd. He says, I don't want to put a black woman in jail, but if Fannie for DA does not recuse herself from this case by noon on Monday, I may have no other choice other than to pursue all lawful remedies. Make Fulton great again. Let's go ahead and see if Harrison Floyd has anything else to say. Okay, here is a video statement.
Last week, my attorney and I made it public that District Attorney Willis very likely violated the Maryland Wiretapping Act, which is a felony here in Maryland. As far as we are aware, DA Willis did not have a warrant, and the call was not made in furtherance of law enforcement because I was already in custody. She simply broke the law. The truth is, DA Willis did not like the public backlash she was receiving, and over the course of multiple calls, she tried to find a way out of the mess that she created. She also made the claim that I denied a consent bond, which is a lie. The truth is simple and quite frankly sad. DA Willis is blinded by her upbringing, which was deeply rooted in radical progressive ideology and racism. She has no problem weaponizing her skin or her office to further its aims. While my skin is also black, DA Willis identifies me as white and views me as a defender of white supremacists due to my political beliefs. Deep down, she wants to make me pay for what she feels is a betrayal to black culture. Her words and actions consistently demonstrate a hate for white people and a need to make this case about race. She has disrespected Judge McAfee and defense attorneys because of the color of their skin. It's racist and it's wrong. After my attorneys finish working on the appeal Judge McAfee granted, we will bring a motion asking the court to exercise its judicial power on equal protection grounds, because racism in any form is wrong. I, along with a lot of you, would like a speedy resolution. However, this is more than likely going to take time due to the district attorney's unprofessional, overly aggressive, and untruthful nature. Let me be clear that this is not an effort to delay justice or attack the district attorney because of her race or sex. It's because she actually broke the law in the same manner she's falsely accusing me of. Thank you, and I will see you back in Georgia.
All right. Well, I wish you all the best luck there, Harrison. Clearly, I think that he's been railroaded. It's quite obvious from the very beginning that Fannie Willis was going after him a lot harder than she was going after anybody else. And he was the one originally that she did not allow out on bail. She wanted to keep him basically in jail indefinitely. And that's interesting that she identifies him as white because he's clearly a black man. but Fannie Willis does make this all about race. Fannie Willis's upbringing – She was ensconced in radical left-wing politics. She clearly perceives her fight against President Trump in terms of race. President Trump obviously is not looking at this as a racial fight. That's all Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis believes in much the same respect as the radical left-wing media that Donald Trump represents white supremacy, even though he represents America. And making America great again, that's for all people, regardless of their race, creed, color, or religion. Unfortunately, Fannie Willis is only interested in upholding the rights of one select group of people, and that would be Democrats. All right, you guys, we're going to end it right here with the news about Bill Barr shutting down investigations into legitimate cases of election fraud during the last days of the Trump administration. Now, there has been a lot of controversy around Bill Barr for a long time. You know, I mean, he was essentially labeled by the mainstream media as somebody who was just going to do exactly what Donald Trump wanted. However, among conservatives, I would say that he was rather disappointing in that he didn't damn near do anything that Donald Trump wanted. He may have appointed John Durham, may have, you know, gotten some investigations off the ground. But when it came down to the wire, I was told that Bill Barr specifically stood in the way of allowing real investigations into election fraud actually take place. Now we have new information coming from Jeff Clark. Jeff Clark is the one in D.C. who is at risk of losing his law license right now, because when he was an employee at the Justice Department in the waning days of Trump's first administration, Jeff Clark looked into those claims of election fraud. So this is all about a miscarriage of justice, truly, at the end of the day, because a presidential administration like Joe Biden's has given zero thought or credibility to the letter of the law, to the language of the Constitution. Virtually every single decision that they've made, every person that they've decided to go after in a criminal fashion has been an egregious abuse of power, a rejection of civil liberties, a complete and utter ignoring of the rule of law. There has been no such thing as constitutional due process. No one has been presumed innocent. They've all been presumed guilty. And virtually every single person who has been charged has had the full weight and power of the United States Justice Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and who knows what other three-letter agencies have come after them. So Jeff Clark was the acting United States Attorney, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Division at the Department of Justice in those waning days of Trump's first term in office. He was summoned by President Trump and asked to look into allegations of election fraud in the state of Georgia and in other places. So Clark is now facing criminal charges for simply doing those investigations, looking into claims of election fraud resulting from the 2020 election results, mostly in Georgia, where the evidence was fairly overwhelming, I would say, and a lot of people would say it's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt. However, rather than look into those allegations of election fraud, Jeff Clark instead was indicted. They forced him to take a mugshot along with all of the other co-conspirators down there in Fulton County, Georgia. John Eastman, another attorney for President Trump, President Trump himself. Those mugshots will go down in history. Now, Jeff Clark is currently in court in Washington, D.C. He is facing the prospect of losing his law license because this is just another way that the deep state criminal bureaucratic apparatus can go after Jeff Clark and destroy him, ensuring that he'll never be able to practice law again because he is an honest lawyer. He was willing to answer that question about the 2020 election. Was it safe? Was it secure? Was there fraud? If there was, why did no one do anything about it? So now Jeff Clark is speaking out about what happened when he attempted to do these investigations. So let's go ahead and take a look at Jeff's statements here. So he said, let me just summarize for your viewers that there is either in the public record or in testimony from my trial, three separate incidents where former Attorney General Barr shut down investigations. One is that Bill McSwain, who was the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, that's Philadelphia, my hometown, where my mom, who was a poll worker, certainly watched various shenanigans through the years and would bring home those stories to me. This is not a topic that I had no prior exposure to. I also applied to Kirk Clerk for a federal judge, Clarence Newcomer, who had a major election, non-integrity case in Pennsylvania, which he helped expose and shut down, called the La Nueva Forma. This is a new way to vote, which involves something like absentee ballots before they were actually illegal, going door to door and collecting them. That was a no-no under Pennsylvania law at that time. But in any event, back to Bill McSwain. He was the U.S. attorney in Philadelphia, and he said that he had very important and credible election fraud information that he wanted to pursue. And so he went to Barr, and he asked if he could investigate it. And Barr told him, no, don't investigate it. And if you find anything, or you've already found anything, turn it over to the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, who has already pre-announced, Brianna, that Trump was going to lose in Pennsylvania. So this was like a road to nowhere. McSwain said, hey, look, I'm a military guy. I saluted, even though I disagreed with it. Now, later, after he left office, after Biden was inaugurated as resident, I think in June of 2021, if memory serves, he sent a letter to President Trump where he exposed this episode. The other two episodes are the Jesse Morgan episode where Colonel Tony Schaefer, who was in military intelligence, this is T-Spooky, he was ordered to stop his investigation of that incident and other incidents by Bill Barr. We did get that testimony in through expert and fact witness Harry Horry. He wore both of those hats. That incident is the one that I was referring to a year or so ago when I said that I knew of Bill Barr shutting down at least one election fraud investigation. This particular investigation, proof positive, guaranteed evidence of election fraud. All Bill Barr had to do was take the data that had already been collected by these investigators, and he could have had a clear-cut case, and he chose not to. He shut it down, and he was not happy about the fact that they had taken it as far as they had. Now, the third incident is one that Matt Gaetz gave to us because his former law partner, Larry Keefe, was the U.S. attorney in one of the districts of Florida. There had been allegations that Andrew Gillum, who had run for governor, Democrat, was engaged in election shenanigans. Larry Keefe wanted to investigate that, and Bill Barr told him to shut that down. We asked for permission from the DOJ to have both Larry Keefe and Bill McSwain, two former U.S. attorneys in the Trump admin, come in and testify, and the DOJ blocked it. So there you have it. I would not be surprised if there weren't perhaps more investigations that Bill Barr had chosen to shut down. You know, a lot of people go back to the statement of trust Barr. You know, my thoughts on that have always been, what do you mean by trust? How do we define trust? What are we trusting Barr to do? What are we trusting Ray to do? What are we trusting any of these entrenched DC swamp monsters to do? You have somebody like Bill Barr who came up in the CIA. You know, it's possible. Maybe he saw the corruption at the CIA and he went on to do good things, hold them accountable, actually work for the better interest of the American people. Or maybe he just played along and did exactly what he needed to do because at the end of the day, he was a company man. So then he comes back into the office of the attorney general. Bill or Donald Trump asks him to come back. Bill Barr becomes attorney general. And what are we supposed to trust him to do? Are we supposed to trust him to continue to work for the CIA, to entrap himself and the CIA in a further plot to stop any investigations into election fraud? Is that going to be used as evidence at some point in the future? Or were we supposed to trust that Bill Barr would do the right thing and actually allow these investigations to go through? Well, I feel like we have the answer. I mean, it seems like Bill Barr had the opportunity to run real investigations into election fraud and to have perhaps had an outcome on the election. However, even if he had, do you guys think that America would have accepted Donald Trump and allowed the America First agenda to be fully implemented had we just continued on in that incarnation? I ask you this. Did America need to see the full corruption of the deep state to understand just how corrupt Washington was, how corrupt this nation had become, how twisted and perverse it was, so that they would demand that the corruption would end and that America would be made whole and that we would truly become a free nation again. It's a difficult question, and it certainly is an ethical conundrum, because we may be in a better position after all this is done. I believe Donald Trump is going to return. I believe we're going to reelect him. I believe we're going to clean up the country. And I think that there's going to be a mandate from the American people to do so. But I'm not so certain that that mandate would have existed if Donald Trump would have been brought back in for a second term in 2021. I don't know. It's a difficult question to answer. And perhaps you guys can leave a comment in the comments below this video. Frey on the Boys said, Zach, I posted a video on how to make CDS. Can I post the link? Sure, go ahead. Jim Kyle, remember they threatened him with impeachment. Yeah, they definitely threatened Bill Barr with impeachment, but I mean, who cares? You know, I mean, like, what does that matter? He was no longer going to be attorney general anyways. I mean, he was already planning on leaving. Fixed Bayonet says, great show as always. Zach, don't be an asswang. People, hit that like button. Go ahead and hit that like button. And please remember the sponsors of the program. That would be my friends at onenessdrops.com, where you can get pre-made chlorine dioxide. And of course, when you purchase it using my special code, which is RP78, you can save 15% off your order. And you can also get 30% off your order if you use RP78 Crypto 30. But chlorine dioxide water purification kits, it's already pre-mixed in parts A and B. You mix it together. You can take unsafe drinking water, make it clean and safe to drink. And you can also use it for a whole bunch of other uses as well. When it's in these bottles, it's going to keep. You can keep it in your car, your go bag, your medicine cabinet. You can put it anywhere that you think you might be where you're going to need to make clean water. It's also good for a whole lot of other things. But the link is in the description below, onenessdrops.com. Use code RP78, save 15% off. You can also head on over to MyPillow.com, where if you purchase anything from Mike Lindell, you're not only going to support his American-made company, you're going to support his efforts to secure American elections, and you're also going to support this program and allow me to stay on the air. Remember, I only get paid on any of these products if you guys actually use these services. So if you do support them, I just want you to know how much I really appreciate it. It is a very small amount of money that comes through from these affiliate programs every month, but it's just enough to help me out with one of my bills. So thank you very, very much if you do. So head on over to MyPillow.com, use code RP78, and save up to 80% off your order. And then also prepare with RedPill78.com, My Patriot Supply. Right now you can save $30 off a one-week supply of emergency food when you use that code through the through that special link. It's automatically going to be applied. You can get 1 week supply of food. Give it a shot, see if you like it, and you can go ahead and hang on to it. Don't use it, but if you do hang on to it, it's good for 25 years. We're talking about over 2,000 calories per day, breakfast, lunches, and dinners. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you do support the sponsors of this program, then obviously you're going to be supporting my ability to continue staying on the air. And then, of course, the sponsor at the top of the program was Patriot Gold Group. Give them a call at 888-857-6092. You don't even have to buy anything. All you got to do is just talk to them and they'll tell you if it's even worth your time. Deplora Blonde says, disinformation is necessary. Americans needed a bitch slap to show us how bad it is, not another four-year election. I agree with you, Deplora Blonde. I think that's exactly the truth. And anyways, that's, I just wanted to start a conversation before, below the show. But you're right, and thank you very much for the donation. Finally, let me just make sure I didn't miss anything over on Cash App. And it does not look like I did. Nope, I didn't. So, again, thank you to number one Indiana Dad. Good luck. God bless. Oh, wait. I almost forgot about Pilled. Let me see. We got the message for Empress. Sean Joe, thank you for the cookie. Empress, thank you for the cookie. Texas Lil Red, thank you for the shades. Mighty Patriot, thank you for the shades. Thank you for the can as well. Thank you to Joe, Average Joe Patriot, for the can. Thank you to L.A. Martinez 05 for the ship. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you, Zach, for all your hard work. Empress says, Zach, try to watch Due Diligence's Sunday night interview of Harrison Floyd. It was great. He's a very nice man. Yeah, I definitely want to interview Harrison myself. That's cool. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. Average Joe, thank you for the can. Esther says, appreciate you, Zach. Thank you for the shades. Empress, thank you for the cookie. Thank you to Sean Joe. Thank you to Blonde Black for the can. Thank you to Judy the Lady Pug for 1, 2, 3 cookies. Thank you to Red Pill Ken. Wrap Up Smear, starring Lube Rack Nancy Pelosi. Oh my God, wasn't she like Miss Pennzoil or something like that? Liberty Bells, thank you very much for the cookie. Blonde Black, thank you for the can. Sean Joe, thank you for the cookie. Empress, thank you for the 3 cookies. You are the best. I really appreciate it. And then Rick Low 100 says, you're all right for a white guy. Oh, all right. Awesome. Well, you guys are the best. Thank you so much. I'm going to pass out these gold pills and then I am going to call it a night. Actually, I have a bunch of editing I got to do. I've got a whole bunch of extra shows that are coming out, including my backstage documentary at the Flynn documentary premiere. Be looking for the next several days. There will be extra videos. And so until next time, I'll be back tomorrow live at 5 p.m. I might come back and do one of these shows that I've edited as a live stream earlier in the day, just because live streams tend to get more views than videos that you just push out regularly. So I don't know. Keep your eyes open. You might have some special shows coming up. Until that time, good luck and God bless.